This content is brought to you in part by Supreme Auctions, the only luxury auction company recommended by the Institute. Supreme Auctions is widely recognized as the first auction company to design a program to work alongside and in partnership with luxury real estate professionals and their clients. Go to supremeauctions.com to learn more. Welcome to A State of Mind, a podcast series all about motivating, inspiring, and educating you in the art of selling luxury real estate. I'm your guest host, Tammy Sims, Institute Trainer. Today, we'll be talking to Josh Tucker, CLHMS and Guild Member with HM Properties in Charlotte, North Carolina. Josh is originally from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and earned a BA in business from the University of Texas in Austin. He spent 4 years working for Dell Computer Company before shifting gears and moved to North Carolina in 2002, where he worked for some of NASCAR's biggest and most successful teams and drivers. Prior to joining HM Properties in August of 2019, Josh was the managing partner and broker in charge of Anchor Real Estate LLC. He also spent 2 years as the managing broker at Compass Real Estate Group in Cornelius, North Carolina. Well, hi, Josh. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Tammy. How are you doing? And it's good to be on. Thank you.
I'm doing great also. It's always good to spend a little time, and I'm really glad that you've taken the time to talk to me today, because I think that you've got some really important perspectives to share with our members. What prompted me to call on you for this is a conversation that was going on in the Institute Network just a little while ago, talking about how people appreciated their clients and stayed in touch and really hit those wow moments with their clients. And you responded that it is equally as important, if not more so, to cultivate those relationships with your professional sphere of influence. So can you tell us a little bit about what you were thinking on that subject?
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, just let me, you mentioned the Institute Network, and I'm a big, big fan. I mean, I think I'm grateful that you guys kind of kicked that off, and I had an opportunity to kind of be a part of that from the beginning. And there's a lot of good content on there, a lot of good conversations happening. And I think it's great of the Institute to provide something like that for the members. So I enjoy that a whole bunch. And I do remember the actual conversation that you're talking about. It was a good conversation, kind of going back and forth about client relationships and how you stay in touch with them. And like you said, while we all obviously know that's very important, equally important to me is cultivating those relationships and keeping those relationships current with the professional people that represent some of those clients, you know, whether that's attorneys or business managers, wealth managers, sports agents, if you work in the sports and entertainment industry like I do. These buyers and seller clients have a team of people that work around them that, you know, create a lot of the decisions throughout transactions, whether you're helping somebody buy or sell. And they help a lot of different people, you know, so it's not always just your client that they're helping. So I think it's very important to kind of understand that process and know who your client is and who the people that are helping them make decisions are, and getting to know those people and cultivating those relationships.
So you mentioned that you try to do something for those professionals once a quarter or periodically. What kind of things do you do to stay front and center with them?
Yeah, so I mean, it can be things as little as what a lot of people do for a client. Maybe, mailing them or sending them, you know, via UPS or FedEx, a nice bottle of wine or something like that. But, you know, I tend to lean more towards experiences, so I love if those people are local, if it's an attorney or a wealth manager or something for a client and they're in my local market, you know, we take them to a lot of sporting events. We're the official real estate company for the Charlotte Hornets here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we have really great floor seats at all the Hornets games, and And, you know, so I was just there Tuesday night last Sunday night, I mean, when they played the Miami Heat, and took a couple of, of these exact people that we're talking about. And so we'd like to do memories or you know, events that will hold memories for them, whether it's a sporting event. We've went as far, you know, with people that have sent a lot of clients or, have a lot of relationships with people that we want to have relationships. We've went as far as having private chefs from local restaurants cook for them at their houses or at their place of business. A lot of opportunities, but more lean towards the experience side, of things rather than a gift that they'll go through and ultimately probably discard, you know?
Sure. Some of the same principles that we use when we're engaging with our clients, the experiential things, but not many people apply it to those professional folks. Now, I know that you use the Institute's luxury market report as well. Do you share those market reports with them so that you're providing data about the luxury market?
Absolutely. Yeah. I look forward to those reports every month when they come out. And, you know, I love the reports because they break down. It's so easy to break it down by your local market, regional market, national. You know, you can really kind of dive in and do several different things. And I share that report with, I don't remember how many exact people that it is, but there's certain segments of my contact list that I share that with, that I know that it's information that they will really want to see and look at and pay attention to. And it's funny because I've purposefully left a few people out one month, and they reached out to me and they're like, Josh, I didn't get the report. You know, what's going on in the market? You know, you need to keep me updated. So I share that with, you know, I venture to say it's probably about 1200 people.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Kind of all across the U.S. And I break it down in different regions, depending on where they're at, or if they have clients if it's a sports manager that helps athletes in several different markets, sometimes I'll send them multiple copies of it or the national copy of the report as well. So.
Excellent. Excellent. And it is a true testament to your message being received and appreciated when they reach out to you and ask why they didn't get it. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, that's happened to me in my geographic farming as well. So that's fantastic. Josh, you mentioned that you send the luxury market reports to professionals outside of your local area. And I know that you do work in the sports and entertainment industry. In fact, I think that your background is pretty interesting. I bet that our listeners would like to know a little bit about your specialty. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess not to go too deep into the story, but before getting into real estate, I did spend 11 years in NASCAR. So I was on the mechanical side of NASCAR and worked my way up to what's called a car chief in that sport. And so I worked alongside a lot of, you know, the sport's biggest stars, I would say, Carl Edwards, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, a lot of those guys. And, so that helped me cultivate relationships, not only with them, but their sports managers that came to the racetrack a lot, their business managers, their wealth managers, different people like that. So my involvement in NASCAR over those 11 years, when I decided to make a change out of NASCAR and into real estate, certainly helped kind of propel me into the sports and entertainment industry. So I would say I started off early on largely with NASCAR clients, whether it was drivers or crew chiefs or mechanics or PR and marketing people, team owners, whatever it would be. And that has since kind of propelled into a larger sports and entertainment sphere. Those sports managers that represent NASCAR drivers also represent football players or basketball players or golfers. It's enabled me to, through developing relationships with those professionals, it has enabled me to meet and be able to help a lot of those other people in other sports and entertainment professions.
And that's like an aha for me, because when we think about working our feeder markets in terms of relationships with other real estate professionals who might send us referrals based on knowing what kind of inbound clientele there might be for specific companies or geographical draws. What you're talking about is a broad industry reach of folks that could connect you with people who will be coming to your area. So it's like feeder markets from a professional sphere of influence perspective.
Yeah, it is. And it's not only, I wouldn't limit it to our area, you know, so I try to just be the source of knowledge for all things real estate. So, you know, for instance, I have a attorney that, you know, I've became, you know, good friends with, and he kind of oversees contracts for a lot of different athletes. And he called me a couple weeks ago and said, "Hey, Josh, I'm doing a contract for a basketball player with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he's looking for property in that area. Who do you know that we can put him in touch with?" So it's a great opportunity, you know, for a referral business. If it isn't people that aren't necessarily coming to your area, it's good to kind of be the source of knowledge. You know, you always want these people to think of you first anytime they're thinking real estate. So if they can call you and say, "Hey, who do you know in this market that I can team my client up with that's going to take care of them, that's going to be discreet, that's, you know, worked with these type of professionals before," you know, and that's a great opportunity to, you know, kind of do that referral business that everybody loves to do, you know.
Absolutely. That's the most fantastic synopsis of how that should work. Being the source of the source, we know that from Real Estate 101, but we think about that in terms of potential buyers and sellers. But mm-hmm. what you're talking about is being the source of the source for the folks that are connected in such a bigger way, then that builds on your referral business. Yeah. Right. So often we think about these concepts as being kind of in silos, as opposed to how they all feed one another. And I know several months ago we had a phone conversation, and you talked about the fact that connections and introductions were an integral part of your professional success. So that to me sounds like you are working that part of things in a great way. And would you use them as a resource if you needed a connection in an area that you didn't have, or if you knew that a team was coming or a player was coming or a company was moving into the area?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I do. And I think, you know, you hit on something important there, that it's important how you use them. You know, I think that a lot of agents will ask, even if it's just a buyer or a seller, and maybe not a professional, you know, that's on the team of the buyer or the seller, they'll ask for referrals just as a blanket. You know, they'll just say, "Hey, do you know anybody that's looking to buy or sell?" And to me, that's way too broad. And so, you know, especially when it comes to the professional side of thing, if I'm dealing with a wealth manager or a business manager or an attorney, I won't ask them for blanket referrals. I would never call them and say, "Hey, if you know anybody looking to buy or sell real estate anywhere in the world, you know, think of me," right? I mean, ultimately that's what we want them to do, but really, really pin it down, you know? So if I know that there's an off chance that a player in my market, whether it's a football player or a basketball player or somebody, you know, if there's rumors of them being traded, if there's rumors of a new player coming to our town, you know, if I have a specific need from one of these people, I'll call them and ask them for a specific referral. "Hey, do you know this person?" And I have an example of that. So there was a football player in our market in Charlotte that got traded. Well, he kept his house here for a little while and, you know, was on the fence about whether or not he wanted to sell it. And a year or so went by, and I think a lot of people just kind of forgot that he owned the house, right? So I happened to know who this person's business manager was, and I called the business manager and asked for a specific, you know, I said, "Hey, I know you represent this football player. He still has a house in our market." So I gave him a copy of the most recent market report and told him, "Hey, you know, our market is phenomenal right now. I don't know what this particular person's interest is in selling this property, but now's a great time. I know you have a relationship with him." And the person ended up deciding, "Hey, I think the time is right to sell it." So I think if you have specific asks for referrals, that's great compared to just going to somebody and saying, hey, anybody that you know, send them my way, you know?
Sure. Yeah, you're absolutely right on. It's also a perfect example of being in a position where you know what's going on in the market and you can share that very time-sensitive information with someone who can benefit from it. And so you've just positioned that as an opportunity. And so the agent or the manager is going to look good because you gave them the information to make them look good. You got a nice transaction and a happy client and a happy intermediary.
Yeah, so, and you used the word opportunity. And that's perfect, you know, because that's really what you're wanting to present. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people go about it the wrong way and just ask for business. But, you know, if you present it as an opportunity and present, you know, valid information behind your opportunity and show them that, hey, you know, this is a great opportunity for your client. It certainly helps and it gives validity.
Well, and that made me think also that really speaks to what motivates the professionals that we're talking about, the agents, the business managers, even wealth advisors, that sort of thing. They are motivated by the opportunity to do something really smart and timely for their customers. The end clients, right? If we think about the athletes, the drivers, the team owners, those sorts of things, opportunity is like a golden word in shining letters, right? You have the opportunity to run this race. You have an opportunity to be ahead of the market. You have an opportunity for a win. That positioning is just fantastic.
Yeah. They're all looking for an opportunity. Just like we are, and just like, you know, their management team is. So, you know, I agree 100%. Anytime that you can present them with an opportunity to the management team, and it gives the management team the opportunity to, you know, present that to their client, who is the athlete, the NASCAR driver, or the golfer, or the baseball player, or whoever it is, or entertainers, you know, whatever that segment or industry is. They want that opportunity, but it has to be presented with validity. You know, you can't just call them and say, hey, I think that, you know, there might be a chance that this or that could happen. You have to be firm in your beliefs. Mm. You have to know that the opportunity is real and that it will benefit them. And if you do those things and you do them strategically and in the right way, the business is going to come to you.
And to circle back to what we were talking about earlier, the fact that you're making the effort to stay in front of those folks so that they know you're always there, you're always on top of the market, sending them the luxury market report in particular. They know that you're always on the top of your game to be able to help their clients whenever they need and whatever they need. But it's a consistency in approach, and it's a front of mind kind of thing that needs the same attention that we give to a geographic farm or client relations.
Yeah. No, you're right. And it's not always quite as easy as farming a geographic location if you're trying to stay top of mind with, you know, a group of, you know, 15 different wealth managers. Well, these people might be all over the country, and you know, so sometimes it means, hey, we got to travel up to New York, or we got to go out to Boulder, Colorado, or you know, wherever it is that these people are at, and we got to show them that we care. You know,
yeah.
We need to get in front of them, have dinner with them, and you know, spend a little bit of time with them, and you know, educate them on what our local market's doing, or what opportunities we can put in front of them for their clients.
My goodness, you mean it takes work?
Yeah, it's not quite as easy as reality television makes it out to be sometimes.
right. But I bet you have a lot of fun doing it.
It is. Yeah, it is a lot of fun, you know, keeps it on our toes.
So let's dial it back a little bit more, because not everybody works with what they would consider to be celebrities, athletes, sports, that sort of thing. But I can see so many correlations to lots of other industries. Mm-hmm. And so I know that it's not all athletes and celebrities that you do. So think about when you're dealing with wealth managers and financial advisors and attorneys and business brokers, those types of things that represent other types of industries or companies. Is it the same approach, or do you treat it differently?
No, I'd say it's largely the same. And I think that, outside of sports or entertainment, probably the most important connection is wealth managers. I think that I've kind of went out of my way to have great relationships with probably a dozen different wealth managers, mostly in the Southeast region of the country. So I go to Atlanta quite often, and I have some very good relationships with some wealth managers at Goldman Sachs in Atlanta, and some very good relationships with wealth managers at the newly formed Truist Bank in our area in Charlotte. And these people are great because they, like you said, it's not just sports or entertainers that they represent the wealth of. They have just small business owners that have gathered immense wealth through their businesses, and these people are also looking to transact real estate. So, it isn't, while the sports and entertainment stuff is fun to talk about because it's a cool thing to do, but I would say that's 20% of my business. It's not an overwhelming amount the buyer or seller is an athlete. So, we do a lot of business with just affluent people in general, and a lot of those leads come through wealth managers or attorneys, like you had mentioned.
Sure. And I'm actually seeing a lot of movement in those larger asset management firms. And you mentioned the Southeast. I've actually had some private conversations, one-on-one networking with some wealth managers and some higher level managers from companies that you would expect to only hear of in New York City or Washington, D.C. or Chicago. So that's an interesting angle, even in and of itself. Think about those wealth managers have their own real estate needs and have potential to connect you with business, even within their own financial institutions.
Absolutely. Yep. It happens. It happens quite often, actually. So I mentioned Goldman Sachs, and there's a lady that's a wealth manager for Goldman Sachs and represents, a lot of people in the Carolinas, but she called me, probably 4 weeks ago and had another member in their office that they were bringing into their office, and it was going to be a field manager for Charlotte. And that person needed, had real estate needs in my market. So I was able to help them. So there's, a lot of opportunities like that where the client isn't always who you think it's going to be.
Right. Right.
And
that's
important.
That's exactly what I was thinking. They're moving around internally, even within those financial services. I will tell you, I have a current buyer, and we had the conversation about providing verification of assets prior to going out and being serious. But he is the wealth manager. And I said, I think we're going to need to get one of your colleagues to step in, because I don't know how this is going to go over for multi-million dollar verification of assets that says, I promise I have the money.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. That's a funny scenario.
Right. Interesting nuances. So where would you suggest, if you think about a member that maybe doesn't have an established book of business or relationships with folks like wealth advisors and bankers and CPAs and estate attorneys and those types of things, where would you suggest that somebody start to build those relationships?
A lot of the times, I think you can start, sometimes it's as simple as asking your buyer or seller client, who do you use for these services? Who manages your wealth, and would you mind introducing me to them? Because not every time does the wealth manager or the business manager or the attorney make the referral for their client for a realtor. Sometimes the client has a previous relationship with a real estate agent, and they already know who their realtor is going to be. So they reach out directly to the realtor. And I think a lot of the times the realtor fails to ask the questions, right? Hey, who is your wealth manager? Who is your business manager? Who is your attorney that maybe not real estate attorney, but who's your attorney that helps you on business acquisitions or opportunities? I want to meet those people, and I want to, you know them and see how I can help them in the future. You know, so sometimes it's as easy as that.
I think that's brilliant. Just ask.
Yeah.
But much like you said earlier, that when you ask someone for something, that it shouldn't be just in that broad way. Here's another example of your saying that you're going to ask them a very specific question. Who's your financial advisor or your business manager? Would you make an introduction? And here you have the introduction, hate to use that word again, but to be able to reach out to that professional and say, I'm the real estate professional who's helping Mary and Susie Smith with their transaction. And I know that they've said that they really enjoyed working with you, and I'd love to get to know you. I produce this this luxury market report monthly. Would you be interested in getting it?
Yep.
And then position yourself as a resource. So just it's as simple as, it's all about the ask.
And a lot of people think to do it, you know, but, you know, like you said, if it's a specific ask, you know, and if you just go to your seller client and say, hey, anybody that you know that might be interested in buying or selling real estate or might be able to refer business to me, send them my way. Well, that's just in one ear out the other, I think, for that buyer or seller client. But if you have a specific ask, hey, who is your financial manager or your wealth manager? I would like to introduce them and show them a copy of a luxury market report that I produce and see if they're interested or if that would help them in their future needs. You're going to get that opportunity to sit down with them, and it comes as a introduction from someone that they know and like and trust. You know,
right?
There's no better introduction than that.
Right. It's that warm introduction. Wow. And, you know, as we sit and we talk about it and our minds just kind of start whirling, it's approachable and it's attainable. Mm-hmm. Right. I think about all the times that that I get the question as a trainer for the Institute. So how can I meet these people? How can I go do this? And you have just shared some really basic, but very, very effective and thoughtful tips for that. And whether it's for someone new or whether it's somebody who's looking to expand their business, build their business, maybe somebody who wants to approach a different part of the business in their area. I think those are some great, great ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And always, you know, think outside the box. You know, I mean, I'll give you a quick example. In our market, I sell a lot on Lake Norman, which is a large lake just north of Charlotte. It's about 20 miles north of Charlotte. And it's the largest man-made lake in the Carolinas. It has about 520 miles of shoreline. So it's a big lake. And I do a lot of business in a little town called the Peninsula, or called Cornelius. And inside Cornelius is a country club golf course area called the Peninsula. And there's a lot of waterfront houses in the Peninsula. And I identified a particular house that I drive by all the time, and there's never anybody there. So I figured, well, it has to be a second owner home. You know, these people, it must be a vacation home or a home that they don't use often. So I thought, well, I'm going to do some research on this, find out who owns it, see if I can find somebody that I know in common with them and get some more information. So the house was, his house is only a few years old, and turns out I know the builder, the person that built the house, I'm good friends with. That's a whole nother opportunity, I think,
right?
Explore is relationships with custom home builders, because it can be very, very promising. So I knew this custom home builder, and I reached out and I said, hey, Mike, you know, I'm looking at this house in the Peninsula. It's rarely ever occupied. What do you know about it? I know you built it. He said, yeah, I know the owners very well. They live full time down in Florida. I'd be happy to introduce you so you can learn more about the house. So he did. And here we are, zoom forward 30 days, and the house is on the market for sale for $4.5 million, because they said, hey, we didn't know the local market around that lake was that promising. We only use the house once or twice a year. So if we sell it and make a profit, we're all about it. So, you know, it's just about identifying opportunities, doing the research, doing the work, and finding somebody you know in common and having a specific ask.
Yeah,
I could have called that builder and said, do you know anybody that's willing to buy or sell? And he would have said, no, Josh, I'm busy. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
It would have been over. But I called with a specific ask, and here I am with a listing.
So. Yep. And so here's the recurring theme that I'm picking up on, and that's the be educated, share the information, make it an opportunity, make the ask, but make it specific and come out the winner.
I think that's
fantastic.
Yeah, now, we make it sound easy. It's not always easy, but you know, there's a lot of work that goes into cultivating the relationships. And I know this custom builder well. I've referred business to him and his company. And you know, so it's not always that easy, but you know, it certainly doesn't hurt to start forming these relationships. And sure. It's all about being willing to ask, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So not easy, but straightforward. In our last little bit of time together, I want to take us in a slightly different direction. I happen to know that you are an avid animal lover and that you're very involved in leadership with the Lake Norman, the Humane, is it the Humane Society or the Humane, is there a different? Okay, great. And so often we talk about nonprofit connections as another avenue. Do you find that there's an overlap, or that there's also benefit in your philanthropic activities that not only reaches your heart but also produces good relationships that that result in good professional connections?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think that. So you mentioned Lake Norman Humane. So let me start there. Yeah. So I'm absolutely a huge animal lover. You know, I've always thought that animals don't have a voice, and you know, much like a young kid that can't tell us, you know, if they're sick. You know, animals I feel like are the same way, or don't know how to reach out for help if they're being abused, whatever the situation is. So I've always been a big animal advocate, and so I've been a part of Lake Norman Humane for several years. We just built a new $3 million facility in the last year and a half and opened it up. And we're saving and rescuing and adopting thousands of animals every year. And it's great to be a part of. And I think that any community event or community involvement is good, but it has to come from the heart. You know, it has to be something that you're passionate about. It has to be something that you really care deep down about. And if you do that and you do it right, and the people, other people that are involved in that same nonprofit or that same community awareness event or charity event, whatever it is, if they see that your intention is pure and that you really care, it's a great opportunity to create, you know, new relationships, new friendships. And you know, I am very comfortable with saying that my involvement with Lake Norman Humane has allowed me to meet people and transact tens of millions of dollars. And these are people that I would not have known without my involvement with Lake Norman Humane. But I'm not scared, or I don't feel bad about saying that, because I know my intent with that nonprofit and everything that we're able to do, it comes from the heart and it's pure.
Absolutely.
And it's meaningful to me. So,
yeah. Yep. I couldn't agree more. And my own world echoes a lot of those things. But so really, it's about the connections. It's about asking for introductions, cultivating a different side of potential connections that really doesn't fall into the simple keep in touch with your clients bucket. And I'm so pleased that you took the time to explore that a little bit more with me. And I know I learned something every time that I talk to you, and I hope that the listeners have also taken some things away that they can implement and gotten some inspiration to try something new, try a different approach, make a new connection. Any parting thoughts before we let folks get back to their busy days?
Yeah, no, I think you covered it all really well. You know, I mean, I think that it's be very specific, be intentional with people that you know, you want to do business with, and don't be afraid to ask. I think that these professional relationships that we've spent this last 30 minutes or so talking about are great ways to segment your business into the luxury market, or if you're looking to improve your price point, having these relationships and cultivating them is a great way to do it. So I just encourage people to, you know that they can do it. Don't be scared. Wake up, have confidence in yourself. You know, it's not hard to break into the luxury market. You just have to be willing to do the work. You know, just reach out and do it is all you got
to
do.
And take the chance. You have to be willing to do the work and take the chance. Well, I appreciate you, Josh, and I hope to talk to you again soon. And maybe if you have an extra Hornets ticket, you might think of me sometime if I'm up your way.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you're up in the Charlotte area, you know, I love to connect. So always good seeing you you know, let me know when you're coming to town and we'll make sure we hit up again.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks so much, Josh.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of A State of Mind, The Art of Selling Luxury Real Estate. If you're interested in learning more about the Institute, you can find more at luxuryhomemarketing.com. If you like what you just heard, please share with a friend and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Thanks for listening.